Well, once again, thanks for coming to this session to learn more about good governance in public health and how we implement quality improvement practices to achieve accreditation. So, this morning, by the end of the session, hopefully you will be somewhat familiar with the history of the National Public Health Standards and understanding the role of the Board of Health, the Health Department, and the public health system, be able to describe the relationship among the three core functions, the 10 essential public health services, and the governance functions, and recognize how board self-assessment uses the National Public Health Performance Standards to contribute to a strong foundation for improvement in accreditation activities. What is quality improvement? Two or three of you in the audience mentioned that you were interested in this. I was going to become a teacher and say, all right, now raise your hand and tell me what you think quality improvement is about. And I certainly could do that. I'm not sure that the microphone can pick it up is the only problem, but would anybody like to venture to give your definition of quality improvement? And say it really loud if you can. That's a very, very good start, and you've hit on several of the key elements. Anybody else? Yes.
Well, systematic approach that has, you know, a value, you assess, you do something, and then you assess, and then you maybe do something different and assess. You know, it's kind of a circle, and one of the goals is to have everyone involved.
Excellent. You are a sharp group this morning. Quality improvement is using improvement processes that will improve population health. And it talks about efficiency, effectiveness, performance, accountability, outcomes, and other indicators of quality of service or processes that achieve equity and improve the health of the community. Very good class. I'm proud of you. Creating a culture of continuous quality improvement. On this particular slide, we want to create this quality improvement that allows the health agency and the public health governing body to ensure that services and processes are always being measured and improved. So measure, improve. Collect the data, look at it, improve upon it. Both the health agency and the governing body have ways to implement a culture of quality improvement, and here are just some ways that a public health governing body can implement continuous quality improvement. A health agency can use assessment tools to develop a list of opportunities for improvement, select priority areas, select quality improvement team, select quality improvement methodology, put quality improvement plans in motion, and evaluate. Have any of you had experience in any of these areas? Did quality improvement team input? Good. All right. So what are the National Public Health Performance Standards? So the question here is, so you want public health governing body to determine whether or not they should complete the National Public Health Performance Standards. Okay, so these are the assessment instruments that are currently available. All the partners are listed below. The Public Health Governance Assessment Instrument concentrates on the governing body ultimately accountable for public health at the local, state, or tribal level. The governance assessment was developed and updated under the leadership of NALBO and the CDC. The Local Public Health Performance System Assessment Instrument centers on the local public health system and all entities that contribute to the delivery of public health services within a community. The local instrument was developed and updated under the leadership of NATO and the CDC. The State Public Health System Performance Assessment Instrument focuses on the state public health system and includes state public health agencies and other partners that contribute to the public health services at the state level. This instrument was developed and updated with CDC and ASTO. And for those of you who, after this session, are interested, we are now updated in 2005 and 7 was version 2, and currently being revised again under the leadership of CDC. There's somebody here from CDC. Actually version 3. And after this session in this particular hotel or convention center, there's a session on version 3. So if you want the most current information on that, that takes place at 10:30. So the four concepts applied in the National Public Health Performance Standards. Based on the 10 essential public health services, I know that all of you have these memorized, so there's no point in asking you to repeat them. Focus on the overall public health system. The standards are designed around these 10 essential services, as I mentioned. The governance tool focuses on the individual governing body. However, the state and local standards focus on the overall public health system. The standards describe an optimal level of performance, and they support quality improvement. The 10 essential services are colorfully displayed here, and on the outside of the circle you see the three core functions of public health: assessment, policy development, and assurance. The 10 essential public health services provide the fundamental framework by describing the public health activities that should be undertaken in all communities. These 10 essential services are primarily carried out by the public health agency, but public health governing bodies need to be aware of and support the various efforts of health agencies to help them to fulfill these 10 essential services. The governing body also has a responsibility to understand what other communities and organizations may be contributing to the essential public health services, whether or not the health department has a lead role. The draft governance functions. In addition to the 10 essential services, the governance assessment is framed around 6 governance functions. NALBO is currently in the process of finalizing the governance functions for public health governing bodies. Definitions. Policy development. Contribute to the development of policies that promote, protect, and improve public health, while ensuring that the agency and its components remain consistent with the laws and rules, local, state, and federal, that it is subject to. And as Stephanie mentioned in her previous presentation, boards of health are very interested in public health law, and John can certainly attest to this, and Andy also, in terms of the interest in public health law. Resource stewardship, assure the availability of adequate resources, legal, financial, human, technical, and material resources to perform the essential public health services. What do we mean by legal authority? Understand the legal authority, the roles, the responsibilities, the obligations, and the functions of the governing body, of the health officer, and the agency staff. Partner engagement, building community partnerships through education and engagement to ensure the collaboration of all relevant stakeholders in promoting and protecting the community's health. Continuous improvement, we've talked about this, but to routinely evaluate, monitor, and set measurable outcomes for improving community health status and the public health agency's governing body's ability to meet its responsibilities. And oversight, assume ultimate responsibility for public health performance in the community by providing necessary leadership and guidance in order to support the public health agency in achieving measurable outcomes. All right, now take a deep breath, because you're going to see a really, really busy slide. But I have been to numerous presentations, and this slide has taken on a life of its own. How many of you have seen this slide before? Aha, see, I was right, almost everybody in the room. The second concept that guides the National Public Health Performance Standards is focused on the overall public health system. So this slide shows a diagram of the system, agencies or components of the health system, such as public health laboratories, major community employers, and civic groups are represented as labeled ovals. Lines connect each oval to each other. The state and local standards focus on the overall public health system. However, the governance function focuses on the individual governing body. So how does the governing body fit into the public health system? The governance assessment has been intentionally framed around the functions of the governing body and their role in providing oversight to the health department. It is important that members of the governing body understand the concept of a public health system so that they can better guide the public health agency's participation in this system. An optimum level of performance. The third concept is that the National Public Health Performance Standards focus on this optimal level of performance. While many assessments provide minimum expectations for entities to achieve, the National Public Health Performance Standards has developed performance standards that represent the gold standard. Additionally, by setting these standards, they provide benchmarks to which you can strive to achieve. So, in this slide, we see some representation of how we would proceed to stimulate quality improvement. These standards are intended to support the process of quality improvement. Your governing body should use the assessment process and the performance standards results as a guide for learning about public health activities throughout your system and determining how to make improvements. So here is version 2, and there's some information on here. For those of you familiar with version 2, there are many new and improved characteristics of this version. Have any of you in the room, Kathy, maybe did your Board of Health do this governance performance standards?
They did, actually.
They did, okay. Did they have a wonderful time doing them?
No.
No. Well, we're going to work on changing that. Likewise, my board didn't really have a wonderful time, but it's very informative. And with so many things, there's so much information that various people think is important, and so you want to include it. And given the fact that these performance standards actually address the 10 essential public health services, and each service alone has so many various areas, it does make it a little bit daunting to do this. Let's see. This version of the governance assessment, version 2, has almost 50 fewer questions. Yay! And that's a 50% reduction. I don't know how many questions version 3 has, but if you want to, we can find out when we go to the next session. This version links more strongly to governance functions and is much more tailored to the true roles and responsibilities of public health governance. So, finally, the benefits of using the governance instrument. There are numerous benefits. One potential benefit is to inform your governing body's strategic planning process, as results can allow your governing body to identify how it can change to benefit your public health agency and your jurisdiction. It can also identify your governing body's strengths and weaknesses, and we certainly did that in our Board of Health in terms of weaknesses. Again, if your governing body is aware of how it's performing, you can make those necessary changes, and you can work on the gold standard in terms of quality improvement. It's always beneficial for individuals and groups to strive to be the very best that they can be. And this instrument will provide your governing body with important information to head in the right direction. Taking this assessment builds awareness among board and body members of their range of responsibilities. This assessment is terrific for new or seasoned governing bodies or board members, as it's always important to review all the responsibilities that come with the position. Finally, the governance assessment is an excellent tool to assist your governing body with policy development activities. So, the benefits here are listed, and trying to figure out how much more information that you need here. This is a useful tool for the governing body to complete while your public health agency is preparing for the public health accreditation. The public health accreditation process is designed to only accredit your public health agency using predetermined standards. The governance assessment is a method for your governing body to also measure its performance against a set of optimal standards. How many of you are familiar with the public health accreditation standards? Are you aware of any entity in your own life that is looking towards becoming accredited? Okay, good. All right. Domain 12 of the standard focuses on the relationship between your public health agency and you. As a governing body that completes the National Public Health Performance Standards assessments, you will better understand how you support your public health agency and where gaps may lie in combination with accreditation activities. You and your public health agency can improve your ability to serve the public as a member of the public health system. Why evaluate performance? You, your health department, and your community partners work together to build operational capacity for public health in the community, which impacts every community program and public health activity. Ultimately, these program activities will lead to better health outcomes, which we are all interested in. It will reduce disparities and better preparedness. The investments that you and your health department make up front will lead to large-scale, long-term impacts on community health. Right. That's it. And now Stephanie and I can entertain questions or?
Yeah. The floor is open, and it sounds like a number of you have gone through interesting experiences and have relevant experience. So we're open to kind of sharing your own experiences and lessons, as well as questions for the panel and questions for the audience for just open discussion. So, and you all may have some questions you may want to ask them too. So anything goes.
Are we supposed to be recording this session?
That's a question for us, because there is technically we're being recorded, but if it becomes too awkward to go back and forth, we can just...
Let's try and repeat the question. So we're having a question and answer session right now, and the question was, how do you convince your board to do the public health performance standards? You have to be a very patient person. You need to show, a passion. You need to play upon their sense of responsibility as a board member. I've been on a board that serves about 500,000 people since 1998, and I can tell you that there are a number of board members who still do not totally understand the importance of their role on a board of health. And sometimes that happens if you have a really effective health director, then sometimes the board's role is less, in the sense that you have fewer issues to deal with. But I can tell you that it was, as Kathy will attest, it's a fairly long instrument. You know, it took us about 8 hours, and so we divided it up into two or three blocks of time after our monthly board meetings. And I think it's important also to bring in individuals from your agency, like your health director and department directors, or however you break this down, because in those questions, There are sometimes, the way it's worded, you need guidance from your health director to explain to Board of Health members how those work. Now, I don't know for sure about version 3, which I'm excited to see, and maybe that's even clearer. But that was a really long answer to you. You have to just, in your own mind, be persistent. Talk to individual board members one-on-one, saying, look, I know you want to be the best board member you can possibly be. So let's work together and let's figure out how we are right now as a Board of Health and see if we can't see where we are and then improve upon that. But you have county commissioners, though, right? Ha. Anybody else on a Board of Health or have had firsthand experience with county commissioners? Raise your hands. Okay. County commissioners are a breed of their own in the sense of, and I'm going to just speak very generically, but from being on the National Association of Local Boards of Health and coming from Nebraska, where we now have many boards of health that serve several counties, county commissioners have been a real challenge in many areas because they don't understand public health. And it's not only county commissioners that don't understand public health. State legislators do not understand public health. And to take that even further, the man on the street probably doesn't understand public health. So it is a different approach. And I think that with county commissioners, we have one on our board. And, you know, from a political standpoint, you think this is how we're going to make you look good, to the county commissioner. I mean, you might not say it quite that way, but, you know, kind of come in, we appreciate what you're doing, and this is a way that will help you and to be appreciated by your constituents. I'll let you make up the verbiage, but that's certainly one approach that I would use. And anytime you can point out that this would save money, that's been my experience, that always is a good sell. And we definitely know by being more efficient and more effective, just by definition, you're going to be able to use those tax dollars in a much better way. And so that would be another way. Stephanie, do you have any?
I was just going to make a comment related to the new version. As she mentioned, it took the 8 hours to get through the other one. And one of the things that we have done this time, you know, the good news about the other version was that we really found some ways to improve that, especially for the boards. So it is a much shorter instrument than it was. And as she mentioned on the slide, there's a lot more focus about more of their governance functions. And I hope we're actually in the process of a soft launch right now. We are getting very good feedback from the boards that are working on it. So I'm really excited about this new instrument to come out, because I think it's going to be a much more user-friendly instrument than the last one. There have been some vast improvements made to it. As Marty said, it's getting the right people to get on board with taking it, but I think once they do, they're going to find a lot, it's going to really be very helpful to them. So I want to say that as a positive coming forward. I think this next version is going to be very useful and very helpful. And I think, too, right now, again, you're talking about the whole public health accreditation and how this can really help them. I think that's another point you can use when, trying to get them to take this instrument. I think that's a big plus that they're going to be interested in doing that. And I guess to add to what you mentioned about the county commissioners, I guess it does come down to, as she mentioned, it's a little bit different audience, but for them to understand how important this is to the community. And ultimately the bottom line is, as she mentioned, efficiency, effectiveness, and be able to make a difference in your community and really to be able to better identify what the community's needs are, to really prioritize those needs and then be able to address those to make a difference in your community. And all those are going to be positives that are going to be sort of a feather in their cap as they, hopefully participate in that process.
Did that answer your question? Other comments, questions? Will they be able to get the slides? Yes.
yes, we, as far as I know, we've made everything available. I'm not quite sure how that APHA process works, but everything should be available.
Yeah, I
a nod of the head, yes.
Available through the website, and then possibly if there are any updates, you can also be in touch with the seniors. I'm sure they'd be happy to share.
Absolutely.
Other comments? Questions?
I want to repeat the question. So she's asking about our survey and what we're basically the background of the folks and what information we had about that in the survey. Okay, and asking about requirements that they may have in order to be able to become a Board of Health member. Let me tell you a little bit about the system, which hopefully will make a little bit of sense. Primarily, Board of Health members are appointed to their position, and it's written in state statute. So it does vary from state to state across our country. So we got to start out with what does it say in the state statutes, and what are those requirements there, and those can be very vast. There are some states that do require at least a representative that may have to have may have to be a doctor or nurse, have some kind of medical background. I believe it's Nebraska that they actually require a spirited community member on their board.
Six.
So,
six? For us.
You six? No, okay, I'm sorry. I knew there was at least one. So, and I think, yeah, she can speak Nebraska. She's standing right here. Oh, from Nebraska. Sorry. But, it varies. And I think, I understand, back to your question. I agree that it does help ultimately if you have a Board of Health that's engaged and has a background and the skills to understand. And the other sort of aspect of the whole concept of the Board of Health and something that NABO has been, working with is that primarily a lot of local Board of Health members are citizen-based boards of volunteers. And I think that there's a beauty in the fact that they are community members and they can really make that link to the community. They can take what their agency is doing. They can be champions of that in the community. They can also listen to the community. They can have those connections. One of the things we like to talk about is, how they use their board-to-board connections. If I'm on a Board of Health, can I speak with somebody on the hospital board or the Board of the Chamber of Commerce or, United Way board? What are those relationships that I can use and be able to advance public health in my community? So I think there's a beauty in having them come from various backgrounds, which they do, and, again, the citizen-based boards of health. But getting to your question of how does they have the skills that they need, and this is where NABO, we try to come in, is to make sure that they really have those skills that they need. And I will tell you, my experience is that most people that, again, we have some of the requirements but from the statutes, but most of them that volunteer to serve on boards of health that are appointed to them, they're very passionate about it. Many of them do have a background in some kind of health or health care. Some of them may not, but they are interested in health and they're very passionate about it. And one thing they will tell you is they're very interested in learning more and becoming oriented. I think there's definitely that spirit that runs through it. So the question is, how do we get them those materials they need? And hence why we did the survey was to just find out what they need and what their needs are. And as I mentioned, the Engage Empower Excel Board Development Program, from this survey, this is one of NABO's priorities, is to look at that information and really gear up a program that's going to hopefully, I kind of think of it as a baseline of the basic information they need. And we look at it on two tracks. One is public healthness, which gets to the skills that they need to understand all the issues that are in public health. And the other is boardness. So, and those are words I actually kind of stole from a BGSU professor, but I like those words. But and then how do they function well as a board? You know, what do they need? This was where the self-assessment, some of the quality improvement comes in, and you know, how to run an effective board meeting. So we really kind of see it as two pieces coming together in this whole board development program.
Yes.
I will just say though, I mean, I come from a state where a number of the people who we have 7-member boards of health, and they include things like the mayor of the largest municipality in the county. Well, that person was elected for a completely different reason. The school superintendent in the largest municipality. And I will say that NALBO's annual conference was just in my home state, and our public health training center had set aside some funding to fund 18, one from every district, one from every one of our health districts, registrations for the NAVA conference. I couldn't give them away. I mean, so I'm the opposite end of what you describe of it's really, we have found in some places in our state, it is very difficult to engage Board of Health members in coming to the meetings, let alone going to a conference like this would be my guess. And so to us, to the training center I represent, I mean, we view that as a challenge that my God, and we're gonna figure out how to get training to this group of people. But it was a really eye-opening experience, the person responsible for really giving away a dean. I mean, even, you know, miles from where the conference was held, couldn't do it. And that was really frustrating and disheartening to see.
I was thinking about a couple different trains of thought went through rather quickly in my head. One of them immediately was, you know, wouldn't it be wonderful if around the country people were competing like, you know, cats and dogs to get on a Board of Health? And then what would that take to instill that sense of wanting to become a Board of Health member? And then my brain flipped to, you know, the whole thing of social marketing and maybe appealing to the general public, to communities, about the importance of health and you know, how can you get involved? Wow, I mean, you're concerned about a particular health area. So how can you now get involved by being on a Board of Health? Because this affects everybody, and I think that's one thing that people don't understand. Just to make you feel better, I can tell you that in my experience and in talking with many other Board of Health members, attendance at Board of Health meetings can be problematic in some locations, and it's just heartbreaking. And how do you deal with that? And most boards of health do not have any kind of policy in place. And maybe when we go to look at that quality improvement of missed meetings, you know, after X number of meetings, you're out, because it's voluntary. It creates some other considerations, but we're even addressing that issue in my Board of Health, because, I mean, we only meet once a month for 2 hours, and to have people just not show up, and it's just, and we have some relatively important issues to talk about, and so it goes back to that, the notion of, is it important, you know, enough, and how do you find those people that really truly do want to serve? Yeah.
Well, and I'd like to add, too, that, you know, when I started this position, one of the things that I thought about, you know, with boards of health is there's so much untapped potential there. And, you know, how do we as a national organization and through our state affiliates begin to really encourage and, you know, champion the idea that, you know, you're on a board of health, there's so much that you can do and really should be doing. And how do we provide them with that information and that support? And that's, you know, one of the... our goals is to really continue to do that. So, and I guess when I was talking about those that had the passion, and they were a lot of people I spoke to at our conference, so they were there. And I,
and we do have some of those.
We do have some of those too. But you're right. We do still have a lot of challenges and just really engaging is part of it. But they have so much potential, and there's such an important role. And I think just for public health in general, this is a resource that we have out there that we really need to find a way to tap into.
It's kind of a different question, but related. In Colorado, the local boards of health don't seem to integrate well with the state board of health. And I didn't know if NALBO, in the governance, there's any encouragement that the locals should annually, perhaps, you know, meet with the Board of Health, and if there are known structures or reasons to do that, that seem to be a kind of self-evident, but, you know, that now they take the stand on.
Well, in Colorado, you do have a status, a SALBO, right? A State Association of Local Boards of Health.
I can't tell. I talked to our board, and they don't seem to be very active in it, so I'm not sure.
All right.
What
well,
that's about exactly.
Ed Schneider, the past president of our National Association of Local Boards of Health, just walked into the room, and he sat down way too far in the back. Ed, would you please come to the front, because we have a question that I would like to ask your expertise on. And the question being, how do you engage the state? Now, do you actually have a state board of health?
Yes.
Yes, and I think most states do have a state board of health.
It varies.
But it varies so much like boards of health. If you've seen one board of health, you've only seen one board of health. And we have been addressing that issue of how state boards of health interact with local boards of health, or how do local boards of health interact with state boards of health. And Ed, I thought maybe if you came up here, you might share what you know about that process.
I think there's a disconnect there. As she mentioned, the state boards of health are very different from one state to another. For example, I come from Nebraska, and our state board of health really has to do with reviewing different professional licenses, licensure laws, and that sort of thing. And there is no connection, whatever, with the local boards of health. In other states, that's not necessarily the case. Now, one of the things that we started to do probably about 18 months ago was to start a section for state boards of health within NALBO. And the purpose of that is to get input from them so that we could be better coordinated, because right now there's a disconnect between the two. But that really doesn't seem to make any sense. And so hopefully we'll be able to remediate that problem. Does that answer the question?
Yeah. Okay.
Ed would have answers to lots of questions, having served as our now past president, and he is also a Board of Health member. Is there anything else from the audience?
Well, I guess what I would just add to the Colorado question was, you know, what under Colorado law is the state Board of Health responsibility and role versus the local Board of Health responsibility and role? If they're separate, then there may not necessarily be that much coordination that needs to be done, but there may be overlapping areas where there that coordination.
They're separate, but they approve a lot, all the funding that comes down to locals. So that's a big deal in terms of our contracts that we get to operate of how the funds get through, number one. Number two, we have a state law that it's for the state health department to develop a PIP, public health improvement plan. And all of our FIPs, what we call these FIPs, but roll up to the big FIP. So obviously, I would see that the boards of health should be talking about that piece, which is all about public health outcomes. I mean, if nothing else, that seems relevant. Does that seem right?
I would say so.
Okay.
Absolutely.
Too crazy.
Any other questions, which I'm not prepared to answer? Thank you.
So, if it's okay with you all, since we are a kind of a small group, we can have one last call for questions, and then for those who want to move on, you can move on, and those who want to stay, we can, you know, pull up a chair and continue the conversation here. So, last call for questions, and then we'll just kind of, I know that we're planning on staying for the next, you know, 20 minutes, half hour at least, so feel free to stay after.
Thank you.
Thanks.